Welcome to Fit as a Fiddle Plus. Today we have Sherry Dotter. Now, Sherry and I go way back. Gosh, Sherry, how many years ago have we met?
2018.
Oh, you just pulled that right out of the top of your head. How did you remember that?
Because it was a year before my book came out.
Okay. I do remember the whole book thing. I love it. And we're going to talk about your book today. Now, Sherry has battled writing challenges firsthand. She's emerged as a global authority pioneering innovative neuroscience-backed strategies to overcome dysgraphia. And I know all of you are wondering what that is. She's overcome dysgraphia seamlessly within classroom settings. She is the author of Handwriting Brain-Body Disconnect. And that was the book that she was talking about. We met the year before that came out. Yep, there it is. I have a beautiful bookcase in my home, and her book is prominently displayed right there in my bookcase. We run a guest house, and some of my guests are also, they pick that up and go, "What is this?" Because it's something they've not seen that word before, and we're going to talk about that. She is a contributor to several works. She's set to release Math, and is it DYS connected? Is that an acronym, the DYS? She's co-authored that with Jonna Lee. And she owns Daughter Educational Consulting and the Writing Glitch podcast. She lives with her husband and son, and she experiences her passion to revolutionize learning. And they also have a daughter in grad school. Wow, you're busy. I get it. Very.
So I've added one more thing onto that list of busyness is
Oh.
with Jonna Lee, we also are publishing Tier One Interventions podcast.
I did see that. Yes. Wow. Anyway, if you're on social media, you'll find her all over Facebook and all over Instagram. I see her every time I jump on there. I scroll past, and it's either her or Jonna Lee, and I see them all the time on there. So yes, your word is spreading. So, and am I right? You just got back from Texas. Tell us about your Texas trip.
Yes, I spoke at the Council for Educators of Students with Disabilities. It is in Austin, Texas area, and it was the 24th conference. It is sponsored by the language therapists in that area. And they've brought me in and had me do two keynote speeches on dysgraphia. One was, what is it? How do you assess it? And then what was one? The second one was, what are some interventions? And the first thing I did when I got there, even before I even started the presentations, I gave them a QR code to download a free checklist about what dysgraphia is, and I'm going to offer that to your audience as well. It's a free checklist that tells some strengths and weaknesses about dysgraphia, and we'll go into a little bit more detail about what that is here in a little bit. But don't let me forget to share that link with you,
Okay.
Kathy. But
Absolutely.
it's at disabilitylabs.com. And I don't think that you can find it on your own. I have it behind the password wall, so you have to
Okay. I
have
get it.
a direct connection with me somehow or another to be able to get that link. But I have at l about one person a day, that two people a day, three people a day, tapping into that because I'm sharing that on both podcasts, and I'm also sharing some other things about math, and the impact that writing has on math disability.
Well, we're
So
going to get into that, but when I record, I'm recording this, and so when I upload the replay, I'll make sure that I include that somewhere in the replay. Is it a QR code? Do you have a link as well, possibly? Because I'm not sure that the QR code will copy into the description,
I will get you the link.
but I know the link will. So anyhow, we'll get that for all the listeners. Now, Sherry, the big question: what is dysgraphia? I know everybody asks you that.
Yes, everybody asked me that. So we're going to go and do a little bit morphology here. So dyslexia is something that everybody has heard of. One of the
Right.
parts of dyslexia is breaking the words down into parts. Isn't that what we do in the medical world? We break things down into parts and we come up with the Latin foundation. So a lot of words in the English language have their foundation in either Latin or Greek. It just so
Agreed. Yep.
happens that dyslexia, dysgraphia, and dyscalculia have their foundation in Greek. So
Okay.
DYS, you had asked me if that's an acronym. No, that's just this little beginning of
Okay.
dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia means disability.
Okay. So
Okay.
disconnected. I get it.
Okay. I means condition. So the IA is condition of. So
Okay.
all of those words have those on the insides. So then you only need that morphology of what's in the middle.
Okay.
And what's in the middle of lexi, dyslexia, lexi means to read. Graph, dysgraphia means to write. Dyscalculia, guess, mathematics.
Ah, yes.
Hence how we get the name for calculus. Well, I'm
Okay.
not sure what the ending of the calculus stands for, but you know, that's the high level math. So how I got started here was I could tell when I was evaluating the students that I was seeing that they were having struggles. And there was a lot of questions coming to me from teachers. Well, does he have dyscalculia? Does he have dyscalculia? And I'm like, I don't know. I am not sure what the designation is for that. Well, I will tell you this. The designation and really the medical clinical diagnosis of dysgraphia, one of the things I've confirmed at this event that I was at this weekend, because I had spent about a half an hour, 45 minutes talking to a psychologist, there is no test for dysgraphia. It is all really appearance-based and
Wow.
struggle. So really, it's illegible handwriting if you want to get it to its simplest terms. But there's more to the story because if you look in the Bible of Mental Health Disorders, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, and we are now on the fifth edition. Say that
Okay.
one real, say that one fast. I had to slow down and make sure I did that. But that is where they get all the diagnostic criterion for all the mental health disorders that there are in the world.
Okay, listeners, can you tell that Sherry is a teacher? I mean, I've learned so much in what, 5 minutes already? Wow.
So in that book, it says that dysgraphia is a disability that is continuously difficult to overcome. Okay. So
Okay.
there might be moments in your life where you're, I'm having a dysgraphia day, you know. But when it becomes to the point where it's almost like this pathological difficulty with writing, that's when it really becomes the disability. Okay.
Okay.
So it's a disability in punctuation, capitalization, grammar, spelling, sentence structure, and paragraph organization. Now, what did I tell you a little bit ago? It's simply, it's like illegible handwriting. Where was that word in that definition? In the, it wasn't there. So I went back and I tried to find out more and more and more about this disability. And the more I found, the more the stack of papers was getting thicker and thicker. I'm going, okay, I need to share this with the world because not even my fellow occupational therapist had a clue what it was really.
Now, when was it that you started getting interested in it? I mean, how long ago was it that you went through this that you said, "Wow, this needs to be in a more usable format so that people can understand what this is. I mean, how long ago was that?
Yeah. I decided I wanted to write a book. I did not know what the book was going to be on at first.
Okay.
I had a couple different directions that I could have gone. And sometimes I feel like I went the easy route because I wrote something that was an offshoot of what I was already doing.
Okay.
I have some other things and thoughts of things that I have thought about in the past and really tried to align them over time here. And sometimes things align, sometimes they don't. But that's beside the point. So I chose to write about this topic that I felt was going to be an easy put it together into a book.
Okay, because you had
Rather,
been researching it already.
because I had been researching it already, the
Okay.
start of that process when I made that decision that I wanted my name on a book was around 2016. Now,
Okay.
fast forward that collection of material time to 2018 when school got over, our mutual business coach all held meetings one Wednesday, I think it was a Wednesday or was it a Tuesday of the month. Once a month, he would held these meetings at a church near you.
He started off on Friday mornings and then he switched it to Wednesday mornings because he got this free space inside a church. They donated the space for his meetups. And I drove to a few, but they were still about an hour away from me.
And I had already been planning on coming to the 2018 conference that he has in October, but I
Okay.
wanted to meet him ahead of time. And through the posts on Facebook, I had met you, and I had already booked to be in your to stay at your facility,
At our guest house, huh?
your guest house for the conference. And I was like, well, this is an opportunity to get to meet the people I'm going to stay with. Also, I'm going to
Yes.
stay at their home. And I arrived on a Tuesday night. You went, met me, and then took off for Sam's Club and left me there. And I'm going, where am I going to find something to eat? And I couldn't figure out where in this little town I was even going to be able to find something to eat. For anybody who knows where Kathy lives, there isn't a McDonald's, let's just put it that way. They're outside of the area. But I did have a car, so I could have driven, but I had already been on the road 8 hours,
Oh,
and
yeah.
if I remember right, that night it was questionable rain. So I didn't want to go too far. Long and short of it is, I got food to go and I came back and I was eating upstairs when you returned. And I came downstairs and then we had a little bit of a conversation. And then I went on my way. The next morning, I got up, went to Carrie's
Meet
event,
up.
went to where we were going to have the conference. So I had a visual of where the conference was going to be, found a place in the parking lot, and I fell asleep for an hour, then drove home. So I started driving home around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got home at 10 o'clock Wednesday night. So that was
Oh.
like a 48-hour trip. That was my first 48-hour trip. I've done one since then. Actually, that one actually was a little bit longer, but I've done that kind of thing, and I'm starting to do those kind of trips more often. But one of the things that happened at the 2018 is I met Jonna Lee, and she and
Right.
I have paired up to learn more about can I help kids with math? And she was learning more about the cognitive sciences, and we. And she actually knew more about some of the positive psychology, which is some of the things that I've learned are some of the ways to help kids overcome the barriers to writing. And I see that we have another person online. Hello,
Yes.
Chris. How are you?
Welcome, Chris. You can unmute and say hi if you'd like. I didn't want to interrupt Sherry, but yes, Chris, welcome.
How you doing? Chris DeSalle here. Nice to meet you all.
Yes, thank you for joining us today. We're talking with Sherry Daughter, and she is the lesson plan whisperer. I saw that somewhere on her website, and I love that. She's talking about a topic called dysgraphia. So my next question, Sherry, is are there different types of dysgraphia?
Well, if you remember what I said, where there's not really much of testing that's for it. When I went looking, the International Dyslexia Association had three types. One was visual spatial, one was motor, and one was dyslexic dysgraphia. It didn't make any sense to me. So I kind of created my own based on intervention planning. So as I'm intervention planning, I am looking at what is the big driver behind what's happening with that child and that barrier. What I've discovered as I'm looking at all the students over time here is if there is a comorbid, which a lot of times there are, if there is a comorbid diagnosis, a lot of those kids demonstrate the illegible handwriting because they have some motor issues. Those comorbidities are typically ADHD, so attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ASD, autism spectrum disorder. Yes, dyslexia and dyscalculia can go with them as well. But the thing that totally surprised me is gifted kids. You wouldn't even think this. Gifted kids, 6.4% of the gifted kids have a disability in writing. And it's because of two different, well, theirs is because of one area, but there's two areas when we take and we overcome like the disabilities with the other comorbid diagnoses. There's two more areas that really impact these kids. And that one is images, visual spatial. They don't know how to interpret images. So, for example, if I were to put up a diagonal line in front of them, there's nothing else on the paper, just on the board, a diagonal line. And I ask the kids, tell me about what you see in front of you. They don't know how to describe a diagonal line. They don't understand what that visual is. They don't understand parentheses, whether it's in math or in literacy, they don't understand what these are for. So they don't understand a lot of visuals. There's a lot of mix up with letters like B, D, P, and Q to write them. So we do little activities to help them. And I fall back then on motor activities to help them. And we do an activity with our arms and our feet for B, D, P, Q. I will put up on the board B, D, P, Q. I put up four or five lines and I mix them up. So if the first line is BDPQ, they're going to put up their left hand for B, because if you write it, you're going to start on the left and then you make the circle. So B. D, you have the circle on the left side and the line on the right. So to reinforce where the line goes between B and D, we put that arm up as they're coming to that letter. And then with P, we use the left leg, and Q, we use the right leg. So I start it, and it might sound horrible on the recording, but I'm going to click my fingers. We start with a beat, and we try to get them on the beat to answer the B, D, P, Q. And All of these kids with things like ADHD, ASD, and all those motor errors that they also have, they can't stay on the beat. The other thing that happens with these kids is working memory. So being able to hold something here in their memory and be able to work with it and then use it. And depending on where they fall in this checklist that I have created for people, some kids can recall orally everything. They go to write it on paper and it's like everything just goes blank. But you got to remember neurologically, reading, bringing something into your eyes and interpreting it in your brain. That is the reading part. That's sensory. That's bringing it in. Once you manipulate it around up there and you try to pull it back out, orally is one neurological track. Writing is a third neurological track. So some mo many of them have great oral narration. They just fall apart because half of the thing is they can't remember how to write the letters. And they have difficulty with spelling. They can't remember how to put letters together to make words properly. One thing that one of my students and my adult students, my OT students, did with a kiddo that was struggling with spelling was she made a multiple choice test and she gave her work four different variations on the word, like say receive, because you got the I before E, except after C. That's a very difficult one because they have to think through as they're writing the word what it is. And she got 100% if she didn't have to think about how to write it. If she could see it, she could write it. So there are some kids whose visual spatial is very well intact. They don't have that working memory to put it down on paper. We have these other kids who have the motor issues, they go crazy. So what I kept finding was there are different activities, different interventions for a visual spatial kid, a motor kid, a memory kid, but I was determined to be able to help those kids with spelling, sentence structure, and paragraph organization as well, so that I have three additional intervention areas. Those areas really translate more to the dyslexia therapist, the speech therapist, the reading specialist. But if I have a student, I will bring those interventions in to my sessions at times, depending on the situation.
Sherry, I've watched you put this whole business together, and it's just amazing on how it has grown into what it is today. And with all of your knowledge and background, my guess is that you're getting even more and more and more traction, from teachers and parents because there's no one else out there with this information.
No, I actually have a client from Bahrain. He said, I've been looking around the world trying to find somebody to help me with this. Around the
Now,
world.
let's say that I have a child that's struggling. Can you evaluate my child or my student who may have dysgraphia?
Up until the end of June, I could.
Why? Why up until the end of June?
Because as of July 1st, I am retired as a direct therapist. And the reason I had to retire is my shoulders just can't take working with the kids anymore. There are things that we do that entail hands-on with the kids, and the pain from the rotator cuffs was just getting to be overwhelming. And so I ended up getting myself some physical therapy, and that for an occupational therapist is a big deal because we don't
I
really
imagine
like.
it is.
I tried, but one of the things I needed was some of the manipulating that she's able to do on my back that I was unable to do myself. And she says teaching me some things.
Well, I really appreciate everything that you're doing and how you're doing it. I love that. If I were the parent or a teacher that had not really explored your topic at all, what are some of the symptoms that I might be noticing that would give me a little pause to say, I need to figure out what's going on with this child?
Putting it down on paper, what does it look like? Can you read it? If you can't read it, I would find an occupational therapist to screen first. There is a free screening that you can download as a homeschool parent or an occupational therapist
Okay.
or a classroom teacher from learningwithouttears.com. So LWTEARS, but Learning Without Tears is the name of the company. They have a handwriting screener. And
Okay.
what's nice about theirs is you don't need full memory of what letters are going to have to be you're writing. They have a picture of an apple and they have you write the A. They might have the B there and then you have to write the other B. So they're looking at those letters, and we're looking at legibility. So our screen is looking at legibility. When an OT goes in and dives into the evaluation, we are seeing much more than what is on the surface and what you might see as a parent. We are seeing difficulty with the three additional senses.
Oh,
The
really?
yes. So I bet you thought you had five senses, right? That's what you
I
were always
did.
told. That's what you were always
Yeah.
told in school, right?
Right.
Well, there's specific nerves inside your body that tell give information to your brain. One of them is proprioception, the second one is vestibular, and the third one is interoception. Let's go back because I'm sure you're going to ask me what they are.
Yeah, what are those?
So basically, proprioception is go as simple as this joint. It could be the knee, it could be the shoulder. There's nerve endings inside every joint that send information to the brain. There's very similar, like they're connected into the muscles around that digit, that joint, that are sending messages to the brain. The brain interprets those messages and sends information back. How much pressure do you need? So let's go with running because a knee joint's much easier to comprehend than a little finger joint. Okay. When you're
Okay.
running, you're having that push and pull on the knee. You're going a little bit side to side, depending on if it's rocky road or not. Okay. So you got to keep yourself standing upright. All those messages about proprioception are keeping that knee, keeping yourself solid to the ground.
Okay.
Okay, so all those messages. Now, the motor part is when the information comes back. Okay, but the sensory stuff is the messages that are going to the brain.
Okay.
So number two is a little bit more complicated, but have you ever heard of vertigo?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And so vertigo is when, like, you're all dizzy and you can't stand up and you're kind of walking around over here. It's because your vestibular system isn't doing its job. The purpose of the vestibular system simply is to keep your head vertical to the
Okay.
earth. Okay. So vertigo is one of those disabilities that goes along with the vestibular system and not it. There's a lot of complicated details that go with it. But if you want to make it simple, it's all it is it's trying to keep your head
Okay.
perpendicular to the ground.
Okay.
So on a roller coaster, your head's moving up and down, it's moving too fast. You get off and you're like a little
Yep.
bit wobbly. And until you kind of get your head back where it lands. When you're on roller skates, you're kind of your head and your legs kind of have to get used to being back on dry land. Okay. When you're swimming, the brain has a different sensation because of the water around it. But when you come back up, it's going, oh, wait a minute, where's the earth again? So that's the simplest part of the vestibular system. When we're looking at proprioception and the vestibular system with writing, it's how much pressure do they leave these little joints, your wrist joints, your elbow joints, and your shoulder joint need to make that letter.
Okay. See, it all
When
makes sense now.
you're copying off the board, you have to look up, you have to look down. Look up, look down. What's happening to your head? It's not perpendicular to the ground, but you have an adjustment your body needs to know how far to move back and forth. Kids
Okay.
with writing challenges, their sensation of the vestibular system, their eyes get confused because part of the vestibular system is your ears and your eyes work together to keep your neck together. They lose track too easily. They can't find their place on the board because their head's kind of bobbling around. It doesn't may not look it, but that's what's happening inside. When they go to
Okay.
look down, their head's kind of bobbling around and they can't find their place when they're looking down. And so they have delays in writing. They write really slow because they can't add memory issues to that. And it's like K, K,
Okay.
A. And they have to do like your name one letter at a time. They can't look at it, group it together, and say, oh, that's Kathy.
Okay.
Now, I mentioned a third one. Perception. It is just before supper here in the East Coast when we're recording this. Can you feel that stomach of yours starting to growl a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel your heart when it's pumping real hard or slow down? Can you feel yourself breathing? That's all your interoceptive system. It is taking all of those messages that are going on in your torso, especially all your internal organs, sending messages to the brain, and the brain sending feedback back down.
Okay.
Hence the growling stomach. There's a little bit more involved with the
Oh, yeah.
interoception, but
Interesting.
okay, one of the things that one of the extra things that's involved is that intuition, and so anxiety and fear and all of those emotion feeling parts, they're all attached to the interoception. So, looking at interoception and looking at somebody who's having trouble with writing,
Okay.
what happens over time is those memories that are getting put up into your brain about, oh, I've got to write again. Okay, so that moment of the day got put into a file. I call it the filing cabinet. The filing cabinet gets filled up throughout your day. Okay. On the outside of that filing cabinet or that file for that moment, you could have, yes, I'm going to do that again. Maybe not. Or no way am I ever going to do that again.
Okay.
Now, granted, we have 4,000 feelings. There's a big, it's not right like a plain old stoplight. It's much more detailed than that. And inside out and inside out too. Really did a nice job of explaining all of that intuition-y kind and the feeling and the and those
Okay.
how those emotions work together, okay, which is in your interoception system. It's also body awareness. Kids that don't know where their joints are have difficult time understanding where their body is. So they're bumping into walls, they're bumping into their neighbor, they can't hold the pencil. Let me see if I can. The pencil's like going like this all the time, and they can't hold it still.
Okay.
So all of those things are those three systems work together in addition to the five that we know of. So
So
even those five that we know of can
does a
get in the way of writing.
how in the world does a parent or a teacher keep on top of all of this when they've got 30 kids in the classroom and they see that these kids are struggling? How in the world do they navigate that?
Well, that's what I'm here for, is to help them problem solve that. And we
Yes.
go one kid at a time. We and parents are really good. If you've got a parent who has been researching sensory processing for a while, they know more than the teacher does.
Okay.
Sometimes it's intimidating to the teacher. Is that my buddy Mark? Hi, Mark.
Is. Yeah, Mark just came home from working all day.
And those of you who can't see him, she just turned her face, and I could tell that she was talking to somebody. It had to be my buddy Mark.
Yep, he
So,
just came through.
what we do, what I am teaching, especially through tier one interventions, one of the shifts that I've made, and I am leaving. I actually have another friend who does a lot of handwriting adaptations. I'm leaving her take that ball, and I'm shifting and I'm doing a different ball at this point. And that is, how can we overcome that negative barrier to get kids to be able to write again and be successful? And I use an acronym when I am teaching called IMPACT. IMPACT stands for inclusion, metacognition, perseverance, adaptability, confidence, and transcendence. And what we're looking at is that positive psychology, bringing it in, and how are those words and positive psychology, how can we restructure our lesson planning so that we are accommodating those kids but not letting them realize it? So I
Ah,
have
okay. So
exercises.
that they don't feel separated out. You're trying to include them. Okay.
Yep. So that hence the first one, inclusion.
Inclusion, yes.
Okay. Metacognition, where by the instructional delivery, we create thinking, and we don't solve the problem for them. We let them solve their own problem.
Okay.
So go back to the diagonal, put that up. Tell me about, and we see what they have to say. I put up a vertical line when I was teaching this to a bunch of adults. There was a vertical line on the page. The rest of the page was blank. Right? She says it's a domino. What it is. And that wasn't what I was thinking when I was making it, but she didn't.
Yeah.
That was her perspective. And then we went on and we went from there, and we created the conversation based on it being a domino. And how can that domino yield the result that we want in our lesson planning? And that's where the idea of lesson planning whisperer comes in, is we take that child's perspective, and how are we going to get them over the hump so that when they go to pick up a pencil, they feel freedom to write.
So you're meeting the child where the child is, not expecting them to try to meet you where you are.
And that can be difficult when you got a class of 30.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So one of our math-based students, she's a seventh grade teacher. She does one of the exercises that I teach with her students, and she sent me some pictures of it. One of the things I've discovered is, well, one of the things I knew back in college, okay, was a
Okay.
term called bilateral integration, where both hands are doing something to get the task done. Like when you're knitting, you need both hands. When you're crocheting, you need both hands. But if you think about it, when you are crocheting specifically, you've got the needle in one hand, you've got the yarn in the other hand. They're not doing the same thing. They're
Right.
asymmetrical. Okay. Whereas back when if you look at Karate Kid, he had wax on, wax off, where they were doing the same motion.
Both
Okay.
hands were doing the same motion. Yes.
Both hands were doing the same motion. That's symmetrical. When we're writing, we have a lot of asymmetrical stuff going on. But when we're writing, the dominant hand that is holding the utensil is affecting the opposite side of the brain because that's the way our brains are situated. And then the other hand is the helper hand is doing the opposite side of the brain. I'm left-handed, so everybody, that's why we're doing it this way. It might look backwards to you, or it might look right because now you're seeing a mirror image. But I'm left-handed. One of the things that I was concerned about is if we are constantly reinforcing the side of the brain that is not going to benefit from what we're doing, how are we going to reinforce that? I'm probably just can totally confuse you. So, one side of the brain is going to say it's round, it's red, it has a stem, it has a leaf. The other side of the brain's going, oh, it's an apple. Okay. If we're constantly only reinforcing the side of the brain that says it's round, it has a leaf, we're never going to get to the what it is. Okay. I had this aha moment several years ago after I wrote Handwriting Brain Body Disconnect that we
Okay.
need to reinforce with both sides of the body at the same time doing the same thing, symmetrical. But if we interlace them together and do that, do whatever we're going to do to reinforce writing, it's going to hit both sides of the brain. It's going to cross that hemisphere barrier, and we are going to have the logic and the creativity start to unite. So I teach a
So
task called interlace
how do you
bilateral
teach that?
integration.
I can't wait to hear this one.
So I teach a thing called interlace bilateral integration. And it's very important that your hands, your palms are away from you as you interlace. If you put your palms together when you lace your hands together as if you were praying, you're not going to reinforce the motion. You need to have your hands away from you.
Okay.
So, right now, I'm going to have you do something. I want
Okay.
you to put your hand out in front of you, put your other hand up here at your shoulder, and try to move it around. Feel what your shoulder is doing there, on, right there
Yep.
at the hinge.
Yep.
Now, turn it so that your hands now redo that, move it around. Do you feel the difference?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
interlace bilateral integration, and then we practice. So you could practice individual letters, you could practice words, you can practice all kinds of things. So the interlace bilateral integration, I have kids in math classes do the number eight. So we start here, we start,
Okay.
and we're standing up and we're doing
Okay.
full arm movements rather than here
Okay.
over the
The
webcam.
camera, yeah.
Yeah. So we're making the number eight with our full
Okay.
body. The hilarious movements that these kids make, trying to make a number eight in the air with their hands like this, it's hysterical. And if you try this at home, full body, even adults, it's hysterical. It's fun to watch. The reason that it's difficult, especially with the number eight, is you are forced to cross midline twice. You're forcing your body to go from your left brain to your right brain to your left brain as you're making the number eight, especially if your arms are interlaced together. So you have the arch, you have the
Okay.
cross, you have the lower half semicircle, and then you come back up again. And kids with disabilities in ADHD, ASD, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and a lot of the learning disabilities that are out there, they struggle. Because kids that have these disabilities, oftentimes they're like their body is cut in half. Like if it's over here, it's over here. If it's over here, it's over here. There's
Okay.
no blending the body. And one of the things we need to teach them is how to blend their body.
Interesting. This has been so interesting, Sherry. And you know what? I've known you for how many years now, and I have never heard this presentation in this depth. I am just so thrilled that you're on today because this was such a learning curve for me, and I love it. Wow. Wow.
I hope it's a learning curve for your community as well. I noticed
Absolutely.
that the person that was on may have thought we were doing talking about something else. He stayed on for a while, but it is definitely something that will strike that parent who has the kid who's struggling. It's not going to strike the parent or the person who's really looking for a medical thing, because it is a specific learning disability, and 33% of the population do struggle with a specific learning disability. It's just 6.4% of those kids are gifted, which blows people's minds.
Well, and then how many adults had never ever had a diagnosis, and maybe they're going, oh my gosh, this is me. I see me in this conversation.
Could be. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now what I've done is I create professional development that is certified through the Department of Education, and I certify teachers to become dysgraphia specialists. With the stuff I'm doing with John Lee, we are focusing on some math activities that are meeting the standards. How I have contributed to that relationship is I will go in and I will create adaptations for whatever she's done. One of the things that she does, you know how kids need to look at their multiplication tables or look at counting and stuff like that, and they have a 100 chart. So you start at one and you go to 10, and then you go back to 11 and you go over to 20. She goes to 120 instead of stopping at 100, because kids think that the world stops at 100 when they're in elementary school because of that 100 chart.
Right.
What I've done, because of some of the tasks that she's done, is I've made the width between the lines, between the numbers, bigger, because some kid, if they're going to have trouble with writing, they're probably also having trouble with cutting.
Okay.
One of the things about cutting is if you make it wider, they have more success. So I made it wider. So we actually have three different dimensions of width to cut these number lines with becomes a number line, these numbers out. And she's looking at everything visually. She teaches the kids to look at the piece of paper visually and tell her what she sees. One of the activities that she does is she says, okay, I want you to circle the number eight. Now, I want you to go through your 120 chart, and I want you to circle all the multiples, basically all the multiples of eight. She doesn't really say it like that. How many kids that don't understand the number system go 8, 18, 28, 38, etc.? They'll go right down the page. But when they go to look at it, they go, oh, that's what we do with tens. Wait a minute, what did I do wrong? So the visual
Okay.
aspect helps them understand the difference. And then she does a thing called whisper counting, which is brilliant for these kids. And she has eight circles or eight objects that she has in front of them. And it's 6, 7, 8. Hopefully, you heard me whispering 1 through 7 on that. But she does that. And then she'll go 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And she likes 8 because it's one of the hardest numbers to remember.
Okay.
So she actually starts with the hardest one. And what she has found is the kids with the specific learning disabilities and the gifted kids are now on the same playing field. We don't have Johnny, who's always answering the questions,
Okay.
Susie, who's always sitting back and not answering anything, in that same role. Now, Susie's answering a many more questions than Johnny is sometimes,
Okay.
because all of a sudden these visuals level the playing field for kids. And that's why visual spatial is so essential to helping kids overcome writing disabilities.
Sherry, this is fascinating. This is so fascinating. I can see why your business has exploded and why you're getting speaking engagements all over the country these days. How can our folks connect with you? First of all, how do they just connect with you if they want to? But how can they find you on social media? Because your stuff on social media is amazing. And then how can they get in touch with you if they want to?
I think the easiest way is to follow my name on the, where is it? Right there.
On the chat. Oh,
On the chat.
it's
On my,
in your little Hollywood square. It says
in my
Sherry
little
Daughter.
Hollywood square. Yes, it says Sherry Dotter. Sherry, for those of you who are not able to see this, who are just listening to this, Sherry is spelled C-H. I said C. Yes, I said C. CHERIDOTT. Double T, double R. You know, I gotta be like Tigger.
Hey, you know what? Your name is fun to type when I'm typing it. The ERER. It's just fun to type. I always think of that whenever I type your name.
And then from there, all my courses are on a different platform called Disability Labs with an S. There is Disability Lab out there. I have the S on the end, .com. So all my courses are on a separate platform. But if you go to sherrydaughter.com, that homepage will pretty much take you where you need to go. There is some handouts there if you're a parent. There's handouts there if you're a professional. There's a lot of information there in general. But that page doesn't get changed a whole lot.
Now, can they find your two podcasts there?
Yes, yeah, they can.
Okay, good, good,
Yes,
good.
they can. I have three, because what I do is when I break things up into shorts, I'll even put the shorts on a separate podcast, but they're all
Okay.
clips out of the main ones. But yeah, both the Writing Glitch and Tier One Interventions are on the homepage. They do have their very own websites as well. So, like, as you grow in business, you have to get more, you get more websites, but everything goes back and can be found through the main one, the main homepage of sherrydaughter.com.
Yes, perfect.
I don't know what else to say, because it's Sherry Daughter everywhere. I did try.
Oh, I
I have
misspelled
some.
it after all that.
Okay.
CHERIDOTTERER.com. There
Yeah.
we go.
So I have something special that's happening. I don't know when this is going out, but for the
Okay.
next, it's available for the next 4 days. I have a
Okay.
holiday box that's going to be available. It's buy one, get one.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, we have curated stuff for dyslexia, dysgraphia, and dyscalculia. We have stuff for teacher relief. One of the things I have here on my desk are these wonderful silver earrings with a bangle. And then there's a necklace that goes with it, but the necklace is not on my desk. We have Some fuzzy socks for Christmas.
I love it. Now, what is this for? This is something you're doing on.
So this is a holiday box that's only available for the next 4 days.
Okay. This
However, next,
will probably go live by tomorrow morning.
okay. So it you have to purchase if them by the end of the week. But next year, we're actually creating a subscription, and the
Okay.
subscription is going to house dyslexia books, stuff about dysgraphia, stuff about dyscalculia, and it's going to have different activities and things and relief objects for the teachers and or the parents or whoever you're getting it for. So that's the new thing that's coming out. It's called Relief in 3D. I am betcha 100%, I bet you that that information is not on my website. So there is a way to contact me on my contact page if you're interested in that link. I will still hand that one off to Kathy. I'm going to look away from the camera to pull it up here so I don't forget it before we go away. But yeah, I'm moving my store, and I think the store link is moved, but it very well may n well not be. But the reason I'm moving my store is to house this subscription box that
Ah.
we are creating. So
Sherry is always a mover and shaker. She's always adding more and more and more to her business and her business plan and her website. So stay
and
tuned to
this
everything
thing
that's
came out,
coming.
yeah, this subscription box idea came out of left field by an ad I saw on Facebook scrolling at 10 o'clock one night when I was supposed to be sleeping. But and I thought, no, I have no need, I don't have any products for that. And I started thinking more about it. And what I've done is I've taken all the stuff that I teach, we've put it onto one pagers so that it's easily accessible. So we have quick start guides for different activities and different things that, and then we're going to be putting them in once a month, get a new box. But the holiday box is something special just to get things off and rolling. And Kathy, here is the link.
Ah, good, 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 good.
And
Okay.
but the thing that really is fascinating and just I'm excited about it is we have contracted with a publisher who publishes decodable books. And I say that because one of the things with kids with dyslexia is they don't know how to pull the words apart to decode them. Put them back together is encoding, which is spelling. Okay. So decodable books, the science of reading has put together a systematic order into way you can learn how to read. These books are based on the science of reading. And my friend has agreed to provide books for the subscription box, and she has enough books that will last us several years.
Okay.
So you're gonna be able to get one decodable book, and who knows, you can over time get her entire collection. And yeah, so it's been fun. And she lives about an hour from me. So this is also going to be neat because we're going to be able to get together once a month to exchange the books. So we're going to meet in the middle, have lunch, and actually get to talk to one another at a
I love
slower
it.
pace.
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow. Sherry, I can't wait to see you. Hopefully we'll get to meet up in person soon. I appreciate you being on. We've been on for a little over an hour now, so I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and doing this today.
Thank you
This
for
was
waking me up today. I know it sounds funny, people. It's 5:15 in the afternoon. Thank you for waking me up. I have been exhausted over the last 2 weeks because my parents are moving. Do I have to say more?
Yeah, well, and you just got back from Texas. So, yeah, you've been traveling around the world. I get it. Yeah. So, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here. I will put all of your contact information in the replay. Folks that are listening, you can find all of the replay information at kathybinner.com. Again, you see my name here in the little Hollywood square. For those that are just listening and not viewing the video, it is Kathy with a K, and Binner is B as in boy, INNER.com, kathybinner.com. And Sherry, thank you so much for being with us today. And we will see everyone next time.
Thanks for the invite.